friends and listeners, in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we declare, yes, souls are crying, men are dying, we must work together to win the lost. And I'm excited to tell you that today's message is exactly the tools you need to be an effectual witness of the gospel to unbelievers, sinners, and backsliders. The Holy Spirit downloaded this message into my spirit fast and furiously over a 2-day period, and I believe it reveals great truths on how we can reach the unsaved. It is entitled, 8 Reasons Some Aren't Saved. I know you're going to want this CD, so I'll be back at the end to tell you how to order 8 Reasons Some Aren't Saved. And I know a lot of you, the devil tells you all kinds of things, and I'm just going to let the Holy Ghost let it fly if you don't mind. And rule number 5, we got 3 to go, but we're going to park here a little bit. Amen? The devil always paints a beautiful picture, but he never lets you see what's behind it. You know what you need to do? You need to go one day around 12 o'clock in noontime to those bars and discos and clubs you like to go to. You need to go in there during the daytime when they turn all the lights on so they can clean up the stuff, and you will be horrified at what a filthy place most of them are. But at nighttime, they got it all plain and black with all those pretty lights and things, and the devil paints a beautiful picture. Amen? And everybody always thinks it's going to happen to someone else and not to them. Or they're only going to go so far and they're going to put on the brakes. I'll not go that far. But you don't have a choice once you yield to Satan. He becomes your master and you're his slave. Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil, and his lust you will do. Amen? And he said, Satan's come to steal, to kill, and destroy your life. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be sitting here in church. Godly families are salt and light for this generation. For the seed for this generation, that if Jesus doesn't come, that there'll be some righteous people left for the next generation to be salt and light. And it's a shame. You mess around and the devil, he will do his number on you. Yeah. You cannot play with sin and it not cost you something. It pays to serve the devil. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And there's some things that God will forgive you. Don't misunderstand me. He'll forgive you. I don't care what it is. He'll forgive you and wash you and cleanse you and he'll throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. But some things you can't undo. Some choices you can't undo. As I say, you can't unscramble eggs. And some young people, they think I'm only going to go so far. And the devil is giving them all. There's more STDs in the last 25 years they have discovered, where they used to be like a few, and you know, maybe 10 or 15. Now they're into the hundreds of different kind of diseases. Amen? And some people think, well, you know, I'll avoid it. I'll do this. I'll do that. And people are doing all kinds of crazy things. And I heard the other day, and I don't want to get too blunt here, but there are young people that they want to avoid getting pregnant. And they want to avoid getting an STD, so they either go to oral or anal. And they don't realize you can still get STDs orally. You can still get STDs anally. In fact, you can get them quicker, because the tissue is thinner and allows the viruses to penetrate. Amen? So you can still get these things and can ruin and wreck your life. Amen? You got to realize you don't have all the time that you think you have. He says, today, if you hear the Holy Ghost, he said, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If you hear my voice, and I'm sorry, but you can't get away today. It's too late. Everybody look up. He took your picture. It's too late. You've already heard his voice. He said, open and I will come in. Amen? So some people think they got all the time in the world. Let's move on to number 6. We've talked about they don't have the fear of God or they don't have the fear of hell. But they have, now, flip over to the other side. Some people are blinded because they have come under the fear of man. They are bound by a man-fearing spirit. Let me explain. if I get saved and go to church and I don't go to the clubs anymore and I don't do this, what will my family think of me? What will my friends say about me? Well, you're not going to like what they're going to say about you. And if your family's not saved, you're not going to like what they're going to say about you. What are they going to say about me on the job? And so they're afraid. Well, what if I do get saved and go to church? And then what's going to happen? What are they going to think? And they're afraid that they're going to lose their, maybe even their job, their position, their popularity, their friends, their family. They're afraid they might get persecuted. And the Bible does say, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. Amen? Amen. Peter explained it this way. He said in 1 Peter 4:4, they will think it's strange that you don't run with them to the same excess of riotous living. They will think it's strange. They'll say, what is wrong with you? Have you lost your mind? Are you some religious fanatic? What is wrong with you? Are you some, you've got around all these holy roller nuts? And some people are just ashamed. They're ashamed. And they think that they couldn't handle the sense of shame that they would feel. Now, you got to keep in mind, they're feeling this, thinking this, while they're still blind by the devil. See, they don't understand. They don't know that God's got so much joy. And that when they persecute you, you actually rejoice with exceeding great joy. And God pours out blessings. They don't know about that stuff. I mean, that's easy for us to preach to Christians. But you're talking to people that are blind. Amen? And you see, I feel that I believe is what happened to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor that condemned Jesus to be crucified. He condemned them to death. I really don't believe that deep down he wanted to do it. I don't believe he did. Now, I'm not going to read it all because in order to get the whole story, you must read all four Gospels. Because Mark tells you something John didn't tell you, and he tells you something Luke and Matthew. You have to read all four of them, put them all together, and you get the whole picture. And we would be here quite a while, so I'm just going to basically paraphrase for you, if you don't mind. So when they brought Jesus before Pontius Pilate, remember it was the Passover, which is the biggest feast and of the springtime. It was the time when they offered the lambs for their sacrifice, to be sacrificed, to be covered for their sins. Now, remember, the Jews were slaves to the Romans. Roman conquered such huge parts of the known world, and then they sent their Roman officials in to run it, to be the governors, the mayors, and all. And the Jewish people were under them. The Jews paid taxes to the Romans. Okay? So now they had developed this sort of, because it was a holiday. And how many know holidays people get charitable? People give around Christmas time. Well, and it was like that. At Passover, they had developed a custom where that Pontius Pilate would allow one Jewish prisoner to be set free out of prison, to show them we're, you know, it's a holiday, we're going to celebrate, and we're going to let somebody go loose. Now, come on now. If you're in a law-abiding thing and you want to keep it law-abiding, you're going to say, well, let the guy go who stole a loaf of bread because he had no food to eat. You're not going to say, let the guy go who just killed three people and raped two more. Amen? So this was the custom. Now, first of all, they brought Jesus before him, and he was trying to get an answer out of Jesus. As, you know, they're bringing you here, and they want to condemn you to death because, you see, the Jews had already condemned Jesus according to their opinion, but they didn't have authority to put people to death. Only Romans did. So that forced them to bring Jesus before Pontius Pilate and saying, this man is worthy of death. We can't kill him. We need you to kill him. Well, he wasn't going to just go killing this man until he found out what's he worthy of death. So he's trying to find out, and he's scratching his head. He's saying, I don't get it. What has this man done that's so wrong? Well, they said he's a king. And, you know, and so he says, are you a king? He's looking at him thinking, God, you don't look like a king to me. Are you a king? And at first, for a while, he didn't get many answers out of Jesus. But, you know, finally Jesus said, well, my kingdom is not of this world. Oh, so you are a king then. And Jesus said, well, if my kingdom was of this world, I would just call all of my people to come and take you all down. But don't worry, don't sweat it. Keep your job. My kingdom is not of this world. Amen. And so he began to develop and this conversation back and forth. And Pontius Pilate is trying very desperately to find a reason what is wrong with this. Now, to top it off, his wife the night before had a very powerful, dramatic dream that scared her. She said, it caused me much suffering in this dream. And I'm telling you, do not have anything to do with that just man. Do not condemn that just man. She sent word to him. He got this note from his wife. Whatever you do, do not condemn that just man. The dream that I had, I'll tell you when you get home. I suffered greatly because of it. So he had that on his mind. He looks at Jesus, this soft-spoken man, who is not speaking evil again about anybody or anything. And he said to the Jews, I tell you what, it's your problem. You're the ones that find a problem with him. I don't find any problem with him. How about if we let him be the prisoner we let go for Passover? How about that? He's trying to reason and bargain with him. We'll let him go. Yes, we'll say, okay, you're condemned, but we'll turn right around and let him go. No way. Let Barabbas go. Barabbas was a seditionist and a murderer. If anybody was threatening Roman rule, it was him, trying to get the Jews to mutiny against them. And in so doing, people got killed. Give us Barabbas. Let him go. How many see the picture? So then he tried to appeal to their humanity. He sent Jesus to be beaten. And if you saw the Passion of the Christ, you know what we're talking about. When they brought Jesus back, it would make most people just shudder to look at this beaten man who was matted blood from his face to his beard all down his body, his back laid open so you could look in and see muscle and bone. This man that was beaten so badly, he thought they'll take one look at him and think, oh my God, he suffered enough, let him go.
Amen, amen. Surely the Holy Spirit has birthed this word into our hearts so we can be able and effectual witnesses and ministers of the New Testament. I believe you can discern the spirit of conviction that was upon the delivery as these truths penetrated the hearts of the hearers, shedding light in dark places and peeling away layers of resistance. It also serves to enlighten us how to deal with hard cases when witnessing of Christ. Paul said that Satan is a mind blinder, and he uses these 8 strategies to keep people from getting saved. Number 1, I'm a good person. Number 2, they're not ready to give up sin. Number 3, no fear of God. Number 4, no fear of hell. Number 5, I've got plenty of time. Number 6, the fear of man. Number 7, too many hypocrites. And number 8, I just can't live this Christian life. Every point is scripturally supported. There's enough anointed ammunition in this teaching to prepare you to be a powerful soul winner. You can order 8 Reasons Some Aren't Saved on CD for a love gift of $10. Ask for order SK151. That's SK as in Sharon Knotts, 151. Send your gift of $10 or more to help us pay for radio time to R.G. Hardy Ministries, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. You may also order online at rghardy.org. There you will find many other spiritual resources by my dad, Brother Hardy, and myself. The mailing address, again, is P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Until next time, Maranatha.